Shalom Aleichem, on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Temura Daf Yud Beis, Temura 12a, pagination is 23. We'll start at the Mishnah, six lines from the top. And we're going to be dealing with cases where a calculation is required. Something was compromised, and we're not going to simply assume that the problem made it to the new situation in its entirety, but rather we recognize that there's a mixture here and we have to follow the rule that will apply to the mixture. Let's give the examples. Ein ha-miduma midameya ela lefi cheshbon. Compromised produce will only affect the next mixture according to the ratio. What does that mean? We're talking about non-sacred produce that was, let's say, in a barrel, and a certain amount of teruma produce, sacred produce, can be eaten only by a kohen when he's in a state of purity. A certain amount of teruma produce fell in to this non-sacred produce, and therefore compromises it as far as who's going to be able to eat it. It's only going to be able to be eaten by Kohanim because it hasn't been nullified. The rules of nullification that we're familiar with are typically 1 in 60, and that doesn't work over here. It's 1 in 100. It needs a greater ratio in terms of its nullification. Now, let's say it did not become nullified. It didn't have the 100 plus opposite it to nullify it. So then this produce has this dema status, not to be confused with demai, which is an unknown status. We're not sure if it was tithed. Dema is we know exactly what happened, but we just don't have enough to nullify. Now, some of this dema produce, compromised produce, fell into a different bushel, different barrel. One could say, we're worried that the entire amount of teruma might be in the first barrel and might be in the second barrel, and therefore we would require 100 times nullification again. Says the Mishnah, we don't do that. We assume from the compromised barrel, according to the ratio, that's how it affects the next mixture. That's first case of the Mishnah. Second case. V'ein ha-mechumatz mechametz ela lefi cheshbon. And sourdough that's going to affect a dough that you're trying to turn into bread is only going to be reckoned with according to a calculation. The Gemara tells us the case where teruma sourdough and non-teruma sourdough, regular, non-sacred, were both put in to the flour water mixture, and neither of them has the power to create the chimutz, the leavening process. So the position of the chachamim is eina midama'as, it will not affect the status of this leavening dough, ela lefi cheshbon sheba, unless the teruma has the power to affect it in that way. But if the only way that it's affecting it is because it's the teruma joined with the chulin, then it will not create dema on the entire leavened mixture. The third case, which is the one we want to focus on, is ve'ein hamayim she'uvim post lemesa mikva elo lefi cheshbon. Drawn water will not ruin a mikvah except according to calculation. The Gemara explains that the cases where you have majority of the amount of water needed to create a mikvah as good water. It's megushamim. It came in from rainwater, flowed in nicely, no human intervention. We still need the minority of this mikvah to be brought in. We need water. And what they did was they introduced mayim she'uvim, drawn water, city water, water that was in a bucket. And they introduced that water to the starting mikvah water. And what we're going to learn is that there is a way for the mikvah to be kosher in such an application. I'd like to back up and appreciate the background of mikvah, and that will perhaps help us in understanding what's going on. There are a number of terms that we want to know. Mei Gishamim is natural water that flowed into the pit that's going to be our mikvah. It could be that it flowed from the roof, as long as there's no problem in the way it came to us. There was no keli, whatever the considerations are, but it flowed naturally into the bar. Another term that we want to make sure that we know is she'uvim, drawn water. Water that was in a bucket and was poured in to the mikvah. Now, if this drawn water was poured directly into water that is not yet the amount of a mikvah, it would passel it based on a lug, about a liter of water, would mess up the mikvah. If the mikvah is already kosher, it has 40 sa'ah, around 200 gallons, then adding mayim she'uvim is not going to affect it in any way. On the contrary, the mayim she'uvim becomes kosher. Our Gemara is going to address a unique case in explaining a possible understanding of the Mishnah. The Gemara suggests the case where the mayim she'uvim are introduced to the less than kosher mikvah by hamshacha, by pouring that water and allowing it the last three tefachim to go flow naturally into the pit. And this is the sophisticated case, the Gemara suggests, that the Mishnah meant when it said lefi cheshbon, that there's a special calculation that needs to take place in order to know if it might indeed be kosher. So we mentioned the concept that a mikvah, which is mem sa'ah, 40 sa'ah, is about 200 gallons. The Gemara brings at the last two lines of the page, mikvah sheyesh bo esrim va'achas sa'ah. A mikvah has 21 sa'ah of kosher water. It needs 40. It's not kosher yet. If we assume that 200 gallons is a kosher mikvah, then being that that's 40 sa'ah, so we're working with 5 gallons per sa'ah. If you have 21 gallons, you're at 105 gallons. So it has 21 sa'ah of mei geshamim. And then what the person did is he was memale bekasef, he filled up on his shoulder through a bucket, Tesha Esre saw 19 saw. That's 95 saw. Uposkan la mikvah. And he did not pour them directly from the bucket. He allowed them to flow into the mikvah. He poured them on the ground in a way that they flowed into the mikvah naturally. Vehein tahorin, such a case would indeed become a kosher mikvah. Sha'ashi'iva mitaheres birivia uvahamshacha. Because drawn water can become kosher water as part of your mikvah if you have more kosher water, birivia, if it's outnumbered, uvahamshacha, and if you introduced it by flowing it into the mikvah. These halachas are discussed in Siman Resh Ayin, which is Hilchos Mikvaos in Yoredeya. It's a little bit beyond the scope of our session right now, but we are encountering in the Mishnah three examples, among the others that the Mishnah gives, of Lefi Cheshbon. A calculation has to be made. We discussed Dema, Teruma coming into Chulin, and that calculation, the case of Teruma sourdough, together with Chulin sourdough, affecting a very large flour-water mixture. And again, the rule is Lefi Cheshbon, according to the Chachamim. We need to know if the sourdough that's Teruma would have had the power to make it leavened. And the third case, where the Gemara suggests that it's linked to the ruling of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, that even though you don't have totally natural mei geshamim, rainwater, but there is a lefi cheshbon, a calculation of sorts that can be made, in which if the majority of the water is kosher mikvah water, then the minority, if it's brought in b'hamshacha, could actually kasher your mikvah. Yashar koach, thank you for joining.